In the war against terrorism, efforts to bring peace and stability to Iraq are continually being disrupted as the terrorists seek to break up order and keep chaos. They know that if they can keep chaos in the midst of that nation, then it cannot progress to the freedom and to the democracy that is desired for that particular nation. Satan is also trying to keep stuff stirred up so that we can never progress to the place of order and peace and harmony and rulership that God has ordained for us when He created us. God said, as we have seen in this series, let them rule. That you and I were created to rule our world, not have our world rule us. Satan knows that if he's going to cancel our capacity to rule, he's got to disrupt order and create confusion, dissension, and division. He knows if whatever he can divide, he can control. And so he got Adam to move out of his lane, Eve to move out of her lane. They both moved out of God's lane, and they lost their ability to rule their world. Instead of them enjoying the blessing that God had promised, they were now living under a curse. And the very thing that was to be a blessing was now a curse to them. Many of us today are living underneath a curse. God does not curse his people in that sense, but we can live in the environment of a curse in the sense that we're not enjoying the blessing that God intended for us when he created us. All of this is tied to what the New Testament calls the mystery of lawlessness. This mystery is the deception that Satan brings about when he can create disorder leading to loss of blessing and loss of spiritual authority. You and I were created to rule our worlds under God's hand. Now, I know starting out, this is going to be a problem. So I understand that. So let me start with Paul's final word in verse 16. If one is inclined to be contentious, because what I'm about to say was as popular then as it is now, and Paul knew that what he was about to say was going to cause some controversy. So he says, if one is inclined to be contentious about what I have just said, which is what I'm getting ready to say, he said, we have no other practice. This is the way it is. Nor have the churches of God. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not trying to mimic what they're doing out there in the world. I'm not trying to mimic what they're saying out there in the broader society. If you would be contentious, there is no other rule but this one. Because, of course, he's speaking inspirationally under the hand of God. He sets forth his thesis in verse 3. But I want you to understand. In other words, pay attention because you don't miss this. That Christ is the head of every man. The man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. I don't think I read it loud enough. I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. The man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. Just in case somebody was nodding, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. And the man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. He introduces to this church that was in chaos, if you've ever read the book of 1 Corinthians, you know that chapter after chapter is problem after problem. Everything was out of order. Everything was in disarray. There was division in the church. The women had brought women's liberation into the church. The men were operating out of line in the church. It was a free-for-all. And Paul had to write these Christians, they're Christians, he calls them saints, in the first chapter to tell them they're in contempt of court. They're all out of order. And in that context, he lays out a theology that is critical to you ruling your world. I call this spiritual covering and spiritual authority. Let's work it backwards. He says, I want you to know that God is the head of Christ. Headship involves provision, protection, and guidance. To be the head means you are the one providing, protecting, and leading and guiding. He says, God is the head of Christ. Now, we know theologically that Jesus is equal to God. The Bible says Jesus is equal to God. The Bible says that God calls Jesus God. We know that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and he partakes of full divine essence. All that makes God, God, Jesus possesses. His ontological being is the same essence as God. But when it came to functioning on earth, remember, man is the head of earth. When it came to functioning on earth, Jesus Christ came underneath God in order to carry out the divine design plan. In order for God's plan up there, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In order for God's plan up there to work down here, Jesus had to come underneath God. He is equal to God in essence. He is underneath God in function. That's why when Jesus was on earth, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. I am here to please you, Father. So the work of redemption got done because Jesus sought to come underneath the headship or the covering of the Father, therefore accomplishing redemption, salvation, forgiveness, glorification, and eternal life to all those who believe, because functionally, Jesus Christ came underneath the Father to do his will. Jesus then comes along and says, every man, verse 3 says, is underneath Christ. He is now talking about Christian men in particular. He's writing the church. Every Christian man has a head. In the same way, Jesus, the Son of God, had somebody over him who covered him, who was providing protection, provision, and guidance, with the exception when Jesus died on the cross because sin was the issue. Every man, every Christian man has a head. No Christian man is autonomous. You may be the man in your house, but there is the man over your house. Every man is answerable to Jesus Christ. The definition of a man, according to the Bible, is a male who has learned to submit his maleness to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He says, yes, Lord. He is answerable to somebody. If a man is expecting a woman to be answerable to him, she should see that being modeled by you being answerable to somebody too. What many men do is they want to get out of their lane in respect to Christ, but expect the woman to be in her lane with respect to him. But don't be shocked if she's out of her lane in respect to you, if you are out of your lane in respect to him. Because when everybody gets out of their lane, you got an accident. A crash is going to occur. Why? Because people are not aligned in the divine order. The divine order even includes the Godhead. Christ is under God, and every Christian man is answerable to Christ. So staggering is this concept in the Bible that in just a few chapters, chapter 14, he's going to say, if the women have questions, let them ask their husbands at home. Why? Because she's supposed to look to her head to get her guidance. But the problem is, suppose the man doesn't know the answer. Well, let's get understand what it means, men, to be under Christ. Because many women complain, I'm supposed to be under him, and he can see me, talk to me, but he under Christ, and there's no real accountability there. Oh, yes, there is. Because the body of Christ, the church, is the human earthly manifestation of the rule of Christ. Colossians 1:18, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that the church is the visible expression. So the way a man proves that he's underneath Christ is he comes underneath the male leadership of the church in order to get divine guidance that he then should take back home and implement within his own family. So a man who is not under the authority of the church is not under the authority of Christ, which means he's out of alignment, which means that everything following him may be as out of alignment as he is. If the woman is supposed to ask him at home and he doesn't know the answer, he's supposed to check with the church to get the answer so he can take the answer back home. To put it another way, if your wife is calling my name more than she calling your name, the wrong person is the head of your house. She should be calling on you, and if you don't know the answer, that's okay. You find the answer because you're the man, and you want her looking to you, not some other man, because you are providing the spiritual leadership, guidance, and answers to the home. He says that every man should be under the authority of Christ, and that becomes visibly manifested through Christ's agency in history, the church. And that is how a man is supposed to funnel himself in the home. Exodus chapter 34 says, three times a year, call all the men from Israel and bring them out into the presence of the Lord their God, so that they can get instruction from me in order to go back to their homes and run their homes right. God calls men to come under the alignment of God. The problem in the Garden of Eden was that Adam failed to do what God told him to do, which was to keep the serpent out. Because he didn't keep the serpent out and the serpent was allowed to come in, then roles got reversed. Chaos entered into his world. He lost rulership of his world, and his world wound up being cursed. Many of the problems, men, that we are having in our lives, in our work, in our families, is because we're out of alignment. Have you ever driven a car out of alignment? If you've driven a car out of alignment, there's a whole lot of shaky going on. Tires are not wearing properly because the car is out of alignment. The fundamental problem we face today, not the only problem, but the lead problem, is men who are out of alignment, and then they're upset because the ones following them are as out of line as they are. You must be in line spiritually if you want that which is following you to come in line. To put it another way, if you are complaining, my wife won't submit, are you modeling what the submission looks like? Let me put it another way. If you are telling her to call you Lord, is she seeing you call him Lord? Because if she's not seeing what calling and following as Lord looks like, then you're complaining what you're not modeling. Every man, there are no exceptions, is underneath Christ. Then it says a woman is underneath a man. This has to do with divine order. This order has nothing to do with abilities, income, or education. In the Bible, men and women are ontologically equal. No man is better than a woman. No woman is better than a man when it comes to their being. But there is a difference when it comes to their function. The Bible does not believe in unisex anything. When it comes to the distinction between a man and a woman, it is a functional distinction. It says the woman, it's quiet in here, is the answer to a man. Okay? It says, a man is over a woman, not all women. He is over a woman, and that she is to come up under his headship, provision, protection, and guidance. She is to look to you for all three because you are her head. She is to follow your lead as you follow his lead. And that is the divine order. What did Satan do in the garden? He went straight to Eve, first because Adam had abdicated his role, which made it easy for Eve to abdicate her role. She took over the lead, gave the instruction to Adam, and all hell broke loose in the garden. They lost ruling their world. In other words, when headship was broken, authority was lost. And I don't care how much you pray, if you're praying out of line, because the man is not in line and the woman is not in line, and you going to God, you asking God to bless chaos, and he won't do it. In fact, I'm going to go a little deeper. The problems that we face are not fundamentally tied to our personality, are not fundamentally tied to this is how my mother was and this is how my daddy was. It's not fundamentally tied to how the world thinks. The problem we face is we've given the garden over to the devil. He's taken advantage of it through our personalities, through our backgrounds, through our histories, but he has taken advantage of it because of a lack of alignment. Whoever is your head is also your representative. The Bible says, and Adam all die. Adam represented us. And because he messed up, death was passed to the human race. But of course, in Christ, we become alive. You're going to heaven because you have another representative, the last Adam, representing you, advocating for you. And so this is God's chain of command, or his order, in order for his blessing to flow through the chain. He says God made them, then he blessed them, but the blessing was lost when the chain was broken. So if you, Mr., or you, Miss., are out of alignment, you're not answering to your head, you're covering properly, then that puts you out of alignment with God. So even if he puts down his blessing, you're going to miss it because you're not underneath it. You're not there catching it. You are out of alignment. And when your definition or my definition of manhood means that I'm going to tell God what to do and tell Christ what to do instead of him telling me what to do, then you have invited Satan to rule your world. This principle not only operates in the home, it's supposed to also operate in the church. Now, this is a controversial, I know, because I get in trouble all over America for this one. But that's okay. I'm under authority. So I got to be in alignment. All right? 1 Timothy 2, I'm going to turn back to 1 Corinthians 11 in just a moment. 1 Timothy 2 makes this real plain. So just in case you hear it, you know where I got it from. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet, for it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. It was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. He is writing the church, and what he says is, I don't allow women to be pastors. All right? They cannot be the final authority in the church. And that's got nothing to do with culture. He says it's got to do with Adam. Adam was made first on purpose because the man was supposed to impart to the woman. That's the way God ordained it. That's why chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Timothy says, if a male desires to be an elder, because God has an order. So the question is it okay for women to be pastors? No. Unless they're on a mission field where there are no men. And then when men show up, they're supposed to turn it over. Why? Because God has an order. And when you break that order, you have chaos. Okay? So that's a little aside. I wanted to get that in there. All right. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I'm going to say a word about gifts in a moment, but he now sets the stage. Now, please don't miss why he's saying this. God's not just saying this related to male and female distinctions. He's saying this because of our right to rule. You're going to see that in a moment. This has to do with your rule. If you want to rule your world, you have to be in the chain. You got to be in order. You can't be out of order. Men, you can't be listening to your guy friends, and girls, you can't be listening to your girlfriends if they're taking you out of God's alignment. All right? Once they take you out of God's alignment, your guy friend or girlfriends just ripped you off from ruling your world. They join Satan in bringing chaos to your world. Now, he says, every man who has something on his head when he's praying or prophesying, I'm going to pick that up in a moment, disgraces his head. Now, who's the man's head? His head is Christ. The woman's head is the man. Every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying, we'll talk about that in a few moments, disgraces her head, which is her husband, for she is one and the same as a woman who has shaved her head. He says, whatever this principle is, we're going to talk about it in a second, is a disgrace. He says a man can disgrace his head, Jesus Christ, and a woman can disgrace her head, which is either her husband or if she's single, it would be the male leadership of the church. They can bring disgrace. And when they bring disgrace because they're out of alignment, what you're going to see in a moment is what you lose is blessing and you wind up with cursing. So all I'm saying thus far is when you're out of alignment, you're living underneath a curse and you've lost your rule. When you're in alignment, you're living under a blessing and you gain your rule. So the question is, do you want to rule your world or lose your rule? Because you get to choose, because I'm going to let them rule. I'm going to let mankind make the choice. He goes a little deeper. Verse 7, for a man ought not to have his head covered. Talking about covering, which is headship, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Please notice what he says. He says the man is the image and glory of God. He says the woman is the glory of the man. Notice, he didn't say that the woman loses her image. When you get married, you don't lose your image. The image belongs to male and female, Genesis chapter 1. He says your glory changes. What's glory? Glory is to make something look good, advertise, or highlight something. It says the man is the glory of God. The job of the male is to demonstrate how magnificent a creature God can make from dirt. Because Adam was made from dirt. You were just thrown together. The woman is the glory of the man. What does she show? How magnificent a creature God can make from a man. That's why she's prettier than you are, because you dirt and she was fashioned. She got the hookup, okay? Her job, your job is to display God. Her job is to display you. You're supposed to say, my Lord says. She's supposed to look at you and say, my Lord says. See, you're making him look good. She's making you look good and everybody making God look good because everybody's in line. That's what he says. So you women have the same image. You're no less an ontological being. You're no less endowed with God's presence. But you are to come underneath his authority. Regardless of the fact you make more money than him. Regardless of the fact you got a greater degree than him. Regardless of the fact that you're smarter than he is. If an 18-wheeler pulls up to a yield sign and a Volkswagen is coming down the highway, the 18-wheeler can't say, because I'm bigger, carrying more cargo, I'm just going to drive anyway. They must give the right of way to the smaller vehicle, even though they're the bigger vehicle, because that's what the rule states. You may have, lady, more education. You may carry more cargo. You may have more to offer in terms of ability, but God has given him the right of way. Therefore, or you must yield as long as he's not carrying you outside of the divine design. And at least you can say, he moving. Paul says that there is an order. That order has limitations, though. If a man tells his wife to rob a bank, should she rob the bank? No, she shouldn't rob the bank because that breaks a greater law. God's law, thou shalt not steal, and of course, the law of the land, that's a crime, that breaks the law. In other words, if a man tells his wife to steal, he loses his authority. That's authority loss, because he's acting outside of his lane. He has no right to make that demand. So a man does not have absolute authority over a woman. He only has authority as it agrees with lordship, as it agrees with him coming on his Lord. In other words, as long as he's not violating a divine mandate or the word of God. Yet he makes the point that men and women are not independent of each other, that they need one another, that they are mutually dependent upon one another. He says in verse 11, neither is the woman independent of the man, nor the man is dependent on the woman. The reason, remember men, that God gave the woman was because the man needed help. And that's more than washing dishes, cooking and cleaning and wiping noses. That is using her gifts, her skills, her mind, her brain to add what God left out in us. Okay? Now you understand why he's talking about hair. Because hair is on the head. Men have shorter hair than women, and men cut their hair. Women are the glory of a woman. So basically, ladies, you can use this verse when you're going to want to go get your hair done. God said, my hair is my glory. Cough it up, brother. Okay? I'm supposed to make you look good. I want to make you look good weekly. All right? That's why hair. He says, let the woman have the longer hair, let the man have the shorter hair. Why? As an illustration that she is to add to what he lacks on the head. So it has to do with her long adding to his short. Okay? So we have limitations. We need help. It's illustrated by the hair, which is on the head, where the brain is, and the thoughts and the decisions are made. All of those are to incorporate the contribution of the woman. Why? Why do this? This I'm talking about spiritual covering and spiritual authority. Verse 10 tells you why. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. The reason why a woman needs to have a covering, a real covering over her head, her husband or the male leadership of the church, the reason why there is to be a covering, the men ought to have a covering too, our head, Jesus Christ, he's just using this as a woman, from the woman's perspective, he says, because of the angels. What is this a symbol of? What's the verse 10 say it's a symbol of? Authority, right? So what we're talking about now has to do with your right to rule. Authority. Being able to exercise spiritual authority. Being able to have God leave heaven and come down to earth and be invested in your career, in your job, in your finances, in your kids, in your decisions. God actually, when you have spiritual authority, leaves heaven, comes down to earth, and engages your right to rule your own garden. He says, as long as headship is there and the visible recognition of headship, why? Because of the angels. So that means angels have something to do with this. Let's talk about that. The devil is an angel. His name was Lucifer. Guess what Lucifer did? He broke the order. God created him to be the archangel. He says, I don't want to be underneath God anymore. I want to be equal to God. I want to be like the Most High. I don't want to have to answer to him. I want everybody to answer to me. I'm the man. I want to run my own show. The mystery of lawlessness, rebellion set in. He deceived himself. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of us all? Deceiving himself, he rebelled. When he rebelled from God, he was cursed. When that angel rebelled from God, he got cursed. And all the one-third of the angels that rebelled with him were cursed because they rebelled against the divine order. They were placed on planet Earth as a holding cell until it was time for their eternal destruction. God created man, but Adam broke the divine order. Then Eve broke the divine order, which allowed the angel called Lucifer, or now Satan, to come into the garden and turned their blessing into a curse. In other words, they got cursed because of an angel. Satan, an angel, came in and he caused there to be pain in employment, pain in finance, pain in pregnancy, pain in the ground, pain in the career. Their whole world got cursed because an angel got involved in their lives. In other words, angels aren't up there doing nothing. They're either supporting the divine order or replacing the divine order with another order. Angels are very involved with your life. They're very involved with your careers. The bad angels are called demons. They are very involved. All they need to see is no order. Because once they see no order, that reminds them of their own rebellion. They take their rebellion into your lack of order and create more chaos. And you thought, well, we had different personalities. No, y'all had different personalities when you met. But when the order got reversed, and he was able to enter into it, he could turn those different personalities into chaos and confusion and cause you to lose the rule of your home, you lose the rule of your children, lose the rule of your career, because the angel set in and took authority. And that's why when Adam failed, the Bible says that in Luke chapter 4, that Satan says, and now all this world has been given to me. From who? From Adam. When I saw him give up his rule, and then I saw her give up her rule, and they got out of order, that was an invitation for me to come in and start whispering. So it's not first about your mama and how your mama, if your mama ran your daddy, she was wrong. And he was wrong too. In fact, the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, it says, and the whole nation of Israel was wrong because the men got passive and the woman took over the rulership and judgment hit it. Because everybody was out of order and chaos set in because of the angels. But the flip side is also true. Just as the bad angels can turn your garden into a wilderness and you lose your rule, the good angels can turn your wilderness back into a garden. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says that the angels are waiting to get their instruction, and they look to how the church is operating. And when God's people are operating correctly, that is a signal to the angels to respond to what God wants done on earth. So every Christian in here is assigned a personal angel. You have an angel with your name on it. He is assigned to you by God to look after your well-being, your protection, your provision, and your guidance. He is on assignment to you. The church has an angel. It is on assignment to our church to look after our provision, our protection, and our guidance as long as we're operating in order. When we call on God, if God sees order, he okays the angel to operate on your behalf so that you can rule your world. So a lot of our angels are taking a break because they don't see the order that grants them the permission to enter your world so that you can rule it and the chaos go away. If it's not in order, the angels won't move, because that's what got the first group cast out of heaven, operating out of order. What did Jesus tell Nathanael in chapter 1 of John? Nathanael was under the tree. Jesus told him you were under the tree. Nathanael believed in Jesus. Jesus told Nathanael, because you believe, like your father Jacob, and I saw you sitting under the tree and you paid attention to my word, you were listening to me. He says, here's what you're going to see, Nathanael. You're going to see heaven open. And you're going to see a ladder come down from heaven. And you're going to see angels going up and down this ladder, bringing what God wants from heaven to benefit you on earth. You're going to see angels climbing up and down the ladder. You heard the song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." That refers to angels climbing up and down the ladder, bringing what God wants from heaven down on earth, because things are in order. Jacob got to see the angels and got to see what God had in mind when he got back in line with God. See, angels have everything to do with it. And the reason why we're not getting our prayers answered is because the angels don't see the order necessary for them to respond. They have to have alignment in order to respond. So you can get your rule back. You can get your power back. You can get answered prayers back. You can get the blessing of Genesis 1, the right to rule your world, back if the ones out of order will get in order. Every time I talk to a couple, one thing will come through inextricably clear. One or both are out of their lanes. She's trying to be him, he's trying to be her, or they trying to be nobody. Because nobody's trying to be God, be underneath God, and they're out of their lanes. When you get in your lanes, God can overrule personalities, backgrounds, histories, and all the stuff that's bringing confusion to your world. But hell takes over. Let me show you how powerful this covering is, this operating underneath your head is. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says that even an unbeliever, a non-Christian, who wants to stay with a Christian, Paul says, let him stay, because them being in your house provides a covering. Because once they leave your house, they leave divine provision, protection, and guidance. And he says, and it blesses your children. Because the illustration of this is Rahab. Remember what the spies said? When we come, this whole town's going to collapse, but everybody you bring into your house will be covered. Because of your relationship to God and your relationship to Israel, you bring them into your house, you bring them underneath your covering. And therefore, protection, provision, and guidance. So could it be that your world is never shaping up because you're out of alignment? Lady, if you're dishonoring your husband illegitimately, in other words, you have no basis, you're just disrespecting him, what you just did was cancel God on your behalf. Men, are you not operating underneath God properly? You're canceling God, not only for you, but for the benefit of your family. Because once you name Jesus Christ Lord, he must call the shots. You don't get to call him anymore, except as you reflect him in the shots you call. Now, they had a particular problem in this church. I'll say this, and related to the women speaking out. It was obviously an issue in chapter 14 when they had to tell the women to be silent. So they were exercising in an unauthorized manner. They were taking over, in a sense. He tells them about praying and prophesying. They were doing this publicly. He's not talking about they were praying silently in the pew, because you can't prophesy silently. You're speaking forth the word. Now, the good news here is that means, one, there was a gift of prophecy, and two, it was publicly used. Women were publicly used in the church. Because he says that when they pray or prophesy. So they were praying or they were declaring something God wanted the church to hear. Why? Because gifts are not gender-based. Certain offices are. A woman can't be a pastor, but she can have the gift of teaching. She can't be a pastor because she can have the gift of prophecy. In other words, she can have gifts that the church uses, even though she doesn't occupy every office, or actually only one office, the office of final authority or the elders, or the pastoral office of the church. So what they were doing was they were operating without being under authority. They were just doing it because they were gifted to do it, but they were not doing it in order. He says there ought to be a visible recognition that you are doing what you do under authority. That visible recognition must happen in one of two ways. It must happen with a veil. Therefore, if you were called up to lead the congregation in prayer, there would be something covering you that indicated, I am underneath a head. I have gotten my head's permission to do this or to give this prophecy. Or because your actual head was there. You don't need a symbol when the actual thing is there. It's like Jesus is going to do with the Lord's Supper. He says, we're to take the symbols till he comes. When he comes, we don't take the symbol anymore, because you don't need the symbol when you have the whole thing. So the times when we have ladies reading the Bible publicly, we either ask their husbands or one of the leaders from the church to come up with them, declaring they're doing it under authority. Then they don't need a symbol. If there is no one there, then they need a symbol. God wants it publicly declared that you are operating underneath God's authority. It is to be a visual demonstration. This is not independently. I'm doing this in line. This is no small thing, folks, because it has to do with whether God authorizes you to rule your world. All things must be done decently and in order. The end of chapter 14 says, if you're out of order, God is not participating. And I don't care whether you opened it up in prayer Opening up in prayer doesn't do anything if you're out of order. But now, every husband should go home today and say, you know, I have been out of order. Even if you haven't been out of order, say it. Because that'll help the conversation along. I've been out of order because I have not listened to Christ for running my home. I've listened to what my boys say, my parents say, the TV say. I've not listened to Christ, nor have I paid attention to you as my helpmate, and I want to get back in line. What I need you to do is come in line under me as I come in line under Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. When you get that thing in line, all of a sudden heaven's opened up and say, what you want, boy? What can I do for you? Because you done got that thing lined up, and now God has something to respond to. Out of alignment means God can't help you. Out of alignment means God can't work for you. You know, the song the choir sung, Shelter in the Time of a Storm. When we know a storm's coming, we carry out our umbrellas, don't we? You know what the umbrella, they cover you. They're covering. Umbrella doesn't stop the storm. It just changes how the storm affects you. Umbrella doesn't stop it from raining. I'm not here telling you, come to Jesus and operate under his order and there'll be no rain. I'm just saying you'll control the rain's effect on you because you'll be operating underneath a covering. You'll be covering your career. You'll be covering your finances. You'll be covering your family. You'll be covering your kids. You will be operating underneath the covering. And when you operate underneath the covering, the world may be wet around you, but you're walking through the rain dry because you're operating underneath the authorized covering. May God allow us, individually, as families, and as the church, to come underneath his covering so that we can rule our world his way.